Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday, 23rd day of August, 2012 transmission. We will be here for the next 3 hours, and I'll be back hosting the nightly news this evening, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. The website, InfoWarsNews.com or PrisonPlanet.tv. Both of them will get you there. Okay, wow. We have got a very important transmission, as always, lined up today, but even more so every day because this world government gets more and more out in the open. We've got a lot of signs that the globalists are planning to stage crises at the Republican and Democratic conventions. We're going to be breaking down all of that. Also, they're talking about canceling or moving the GOP convention if this hurricane that looks like it's steering right for the convention. I can see Bill Gates in there with the hurricane machine guiding it. You know, I mean, that sounds crazy, and it's probably a normal hurricane, but 1967, they had certified that the government could create, weaken, strengthen, and even steer hurricanes. So we are living in a Buck Rogers world. I've had Ben Livingston, the father of weather weapons, on the show to break all of that down, so we're going to be going over that. Here's one of the big ones. Texas official warns of Obama civil war. It's in the Houston Chronicle. It's in the Associated Press. It's up at InfoWars.com. It's Lubbock. It's the judge. And people get confused outside Texas or other states that have this. The county commissioner head is called a judge. And so it's basically the mayor of that county that Lubbock is in. Pretty populated area. Pretty focused and well-informed conservative libertarian types out in West Texas. In fact, if I was ever going to talk about a place that would really actually rebel against tyranny, it's people in Texas and particularly places like West Texas. And he's sitting there with the police chief or sitting there with the sheriff nodding his head when they're talking about waiting for the feds and their armored vehicles and stopping them. And the guy's pretty respected. I mean, he's not... This is the point we've gotten to where they're announcing on C-SPAN the UN and NATO run the military. They're announcing on CNBC that world government is here. They are announcing we're going under global receivership and global government has been established. And the Bill of Rights and Constitution is being completely trashed. And so people at the state level are going to wake up. I mean, the Texas legislature said last year, we're going to enforce existing law. If you touch somebody's genitals on the outside without a warrant or an emergency, that is a misdemeanor. Inside, it's a felony sexual assault. That's already on the books. And the feds said F-16s are on standby to run an armed blockade of your state. And I confirmed with military sources, Army mainly, that they had the tanks loading on the trains to come to Texas in surrounding states. Yeah, good luck with that. As if they're going to, I mean, if you have the government of a state stand up, it's over. Because the federal government has zero moral authority. Zero. The feds are supposed to keep the states in tune. The states are supposed to keep the feds in tune. That's separation of powers. And the feds are way out of line because they're not feds. They're globalists. They're collaborators with foreign banks that brag in hundreds of publications that we're slaves. And look, you can run denial on people long enough and have them just follow authority. But it's not going to fly in places like Texas and Tennessee and Vermont and New Hampshire and Arizona and other areas. It is not going to fly in places like Missouri and Kansas and Indiana and Illinois, I mean, all over. When open world government is being thrown in our face and we're being told that liberty is bad and small business owners are bad, I mean, I'm sorry. The New World Order is dead on arrival unless they start a civil war, and that's what this judge is talking about.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
If you are joining us for the first time and you're wondering what you've tuned into, let me introduce myself. I am Alex Jones of Texas, and I am a defender of liberty and common sense and due process, the family and private property, and the right to follow your own religious beliefs and to have freedom and dignity. And I have declared war for 17 years on pushers and purveyors of tyranny and control freak coward ideologies. And I have sworn on the altar of God to put all of my energy and will against the New World Order and to trod them under my booted feet. If God be with us, none can stand against us. The globalists spend their entire time trying to brainwash and program with all these anti-family, anti-liberty messages that you see everywhere. Television is a weapon to pacify you. Now, people think that, oh, Obama, he's bad. He's the reason all this is happening. Obama is the manifestation at this current point, a signpost of the globalists themselves. And the fact that people are rebelling against Obama is a good thing. And the fact that almost everyone I talk to who hates Obama and everything he's doing understands that Mitt Romney's bought and paid for by the very same people. They just don't want Obama to get reelected, and it's the only good argument I've heard for actually getting involved in the election, is because if he gets four more years, he's not facing reelection, and he has pardon power and Katie barred the door. I've talked to a lot of high-powered people, even liberals and Democrats and big corporate people, and they're scared of Obama and the people that run him. Clearly, they want to start a civil war in this country between patriots and libertarians and conservatives. Whether you like it or not, the battle lines have been drawn. And if they see you as a libertarian or a conservative or a constitutionalist or a veteran, you are the enemy, period. Because the globalists manipulate both sides of the political fake spectrum, but the real ideology of their henchmen at the lower and mid and even upper levels is a socialist communist ideology. And they are a very, very, very dangerous force that has to be dealt with. And again, Romney is just the globalist in a lower gear. And that signifies the fact that they're trying to get him in now, that they realize Obama has become nothing but a liability. People are waking up under Obama. People are getting organized under Obama. They're getting out of their slumber. And the country is on the edge of a restoration. The Republic is awakening right now. And I've got some amazing news we're going to be covering. But if you just tune in for the first time, you have found it. This is the tip of the spear. This is the most widely listened to radio broadcast on AM, FM, XM, and shortwave and internet worldwide that actually covers the full spectrum of the eugenics, the world government, the master plan. We go way beyond Obama, way beyond the Prime Minister of England, way beyond the puppets to the source documents of the globalists who have to communicate to their mid-level minions so they basically admit their entire program. All you've got to do is take a little time out of watching sports and a little time out of strutting around and acting tough. And I'm talking to some of the new listeners out there, to actually realize you're under assault. I mean, I people watch and I go hiking and I go swimming. The lake's gotten too hot here to swim. Then I'm getting into the news. So I like to go to one of the big spring-fed areas, well, Barton Springs, and I watch guys, you know, that are big and muscular and obviously powerful, and I watch them kind of strutting around like they want to, you know, start a fight with somebody. And I kind of watch some of the lap lane swimmers who will, you know, kind of get out of kilter of where they're swimming and get over into where you're at, and you'll see them looking at you in their goggles. They're just going to run into you. They're going to play chicken with you. Adult men hyped up on testosterone swimming in ice cold water. That's not really ice cold. It's spring, like 68 degrees, but it feels like icy. are so wound up that they're ready to run into another man who potentially, you know, would break their nose. Because I'm sitting there thinking, well, the person runs into me, I'll just ignore it. If they get mad and attack me, what am I going to do? Well, I don't want to punch them in the throat and kill them. I'll just break their nose. Because, you know, I mean, I'm not Mr. Tough Guy, but people aggress towards me, I start thinking about how to assault them, what I'm going to do to them. And that's just a normal response of any mammal that's got their head screwed on straight. And my point for telling that story is I had to get way over on the side yesterday just to not have people running into me. And then I was watching them running into each other, and I was just watching men going up to the diving board posturing to each other. And that's what this country has become, is that they love posturing to their neighbor. They love, cops love getting mad at you and yelling at you if you drive wrong or something when they pull you over. But they don't get mad when foreign banks openly steal $40-something trillion out of the U.S. Treasury, bankrupting us by design. They don't get mad when they come out in major studies and go, yeah, we put fluoride in the water to brain damage you, because they're brain damaged. That's why. And again, you should get mad. You should get angry about real assaults that are taking place. But again, we're given these cultural icons and these cultural images of what is acceptable to do. But I'm already digressing off. The point is, I see men who are either giving into being completely emasculated and castrated and kind of get into this jellyfish mode of talking in simpering voices and walking behind their wives and saying yes, ma'am, to them. I see that. The women look completely unhappy, but they're following the feminist liberal dream of basically a dead family. And now the feminists are, we hate you men, we just want to have kids without you. And that's being pushed as super fashionable. So you have that rotting on one end. And then on the other end, I actually aren't even mad at men strutting around with tattoos, acting tough, because that's at least a primitive level I can work with in the future. At least they've got enough humanity left that they still have some power, even though it's infantile and badly directed. At least there's something left there. At least they're not embracing weakness. I mean, I used to think, man, it's kind of silly, people in motorcycle jackets bugging their eyes out, acting tough, driving around, rum, 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 rum. But I understand, hey, they're trying to say we're not like the rest of these people. So I actually get it and like it and think it's good. Because I guess you've got to take on the outer form of something a lot of times before you start taking the inner form on. But I've got huge, giant breaking news here, and I'm basically engaging in a philosophy discussion, and I apologize. Let me run down what's coming up on this huge broadcast today. We have a special guest in studio, but I'll tell you about that coming up. It's amazing what we've got coming up here on the broadcast. Truly incredible information. It is confirmed. BBC ran the footage. The New York Times wrote about it. There's multiple TV crew footage of it. The BBC removed the story and removed it because it is Al-Qaeda jihadis funded out of Saudi Arabia, torturing a man, going through people's family belongings, laughing at wedding photos, swimming in a family swimming pool, torturing the guy, and then making him suicide bomb a police checkpoint. And we're going to be playing that clip because it's censored by the BBC, but it backfired on the London Telegraph, just put the video out now with their masthead on it saying, okay, well, you censored it, we're covering it. Paul Watson has a big article about it up at Infowars.com. I mentioned this yesterday, but I didn't read the article, and it's so big, I will get into the article itself today. It's linked on the right-hand side, third story down at DrudgeReport.com. That's DrudgeReport.com. But also up at Infowars.com is where it originates from. TSA rifles through bags, conducts pat-downs at Paul Ryan event, government agents moving out of airports into the streets. Big article. I'm going to be covering that. And then, of course, our top story here today, because this signifies that we could really turn the corner in a lot of ways, Because I'm talking to military, I'm talking to police, I'm talking to county judges, I'm talking to state judges, current ones. I've talked to Congress people off air. I've talked to state senators on air. And this is the reason he's saying this, and local Fox News, Fox 34 in Lubbock took it serious, because the county judge, again, is like it's the mayor of the county. It's like a selectman of the county. But Texas judge preparing for civil war of Obama reelected. Well, really, it should be Texas judge preparing for American resistance to globalist takeover. And again, as more and more people just come out and say what it is, this is where we're going to have the victory. The enemy would tell police world government doesn't exist, foreign banks running a world government doesn't exist, derivatives that are going to bring it down don't exist. There's countless books, videos made predicting all this. The police were shown it as intelligence files to look out for us. So the police have basically, in the intelligence units and the SWAT teams and everything, they've all seen this stuff, and they're like, well, all that is exactly coming true. So their own propaganda, here's an example. Going back 15 years ago, Marines would show my first films, and Army as well. Some of them were like, you know, producers I had, brothers and others. I mean, I had countless stories of these where I was personally told it and shown letters, where they would get them up and say, Alex Jones videos are being given out. You will get in trouble, and you'll get extra duties if you're caught with it, and then the second time worse. I've been told to tell you this by the colonel. By the way, there's a stack of the videos right here. I expect you to throw them away. So the point is, they get cops all over the country and tell them I'm a liar, don't listen to me. All they do is tune in and find out we're telling the truth.
I hear the train coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down the San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
Ladies and gentlemen,
when I hear that whistle blowing.
The story out of the Houston Chronicle about Lubbock, Texas, and their county commissioner head, the judge, saying we've got a foreign globalist takeover happening in America. I need police to prepare to defend against it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to play the clip here in a moment. That's now a national story, and that's going to get everybody talking. This guy just had the courage to say what everybody who actually cares about freedom already knows. And I want to get this guy on the show, Chris. You won't be able to get him on soon. He's going to get swamped. I want to go after him today. Set him up for tomorrow, please. And if he can't do it during the radio time, we'll do it nightly news tomorrow, even tonight. I got Steve Pachinik on with breaking news and Dan Bedondi in studio tonight. But let's see if we can get him on the nightly news tonight. That's a good idea. Texas official warns of Obama civil war. A Lubbock County, Texas judge. Now, see, he's not a judge. They call it a judge. He's the head of the county court, which is really the city council for the county. He's asking for a tax increase to hire deputies, like a 1 cent thing, for the inevitable civil war he believes would follow President Obama's reelection. Well, let's actually play what he really had to say, because here's our article from June 1st by Adan Salazar for Infowars.com, one of our in-house great researchers. It's GX, The Guard Experience magazine, The Threat at Home, Who and What Are the Biggest Dangers to Homeland Security? And it shows a veteran with bombs strapped to him. Really? And by the way, that's how this works. They tell somebody, we're going to kill your family. We've got your little kids. If you don't drive this suicide bomb in, we're going to kill your wife and kids. And you know what? Daddy goes and blows himself up. And of course, they go ahead and kill the wife and kids. Not going to let witnesses be around. They love it. That's why people get into the business of being globalist minions and Al-Qaeda, because they like to cut people's heads off. They like to torture. They like to murder. And we're going to play some of that footage and audio coming up where our government, criminal government, is Al-Qaeda has captured a family, taken over their house. They're making fun of their wedding pictures. all of these are the heroes, and then they torture the guy and say, you're now going to drive this truck in and blow up a police station. And there's another case where they want to blow up a police checkpoint. A truck full of explosives. Okay. And that's up at Infowars.com. This is on the BBC. They're like, this is good. This is heroic. Well, no, it's not. This is the type of evil. And now they're saying in Army documents we covered 3 weeks ago, became national news, Drudge Report linked to that. Washington Times covered it. Washington Post covered it. But they were like, oh, it's okay. The Washington Post was like, this is a good thing. Saying that they were training in North Carolina when the militia with the Tea Party links up with Al-Qaeda. Yeah. When the Lucky Charms leprechaun links up with the Easter Bunny and a Chinese jet pilot from Pluto and rainbow ponies dance around and pigs fly. And I mean, it's just, but they actually, I knew this was going on 6-7 years ago from my sources. That's why I said they're going to say that the Patriots are going to link up with Al-Qaeda. That's one thing to claim the militia is, which is ridiculous, but they think the public's ignorant about the militia. But to say that the Tea Party, who half the Tea Party, because I know the Tea Party folks. I mean, I was there with Ron Paul helping found the original one. But half the Tea Party today is so Islamophobic, folks, they want to glass parking lot the entire Middle East. You know them. A lot of you are them. They say you work with them. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And they have the big National Guard magazine about how, yeah, you're going to be fighting veterans who link up with Al-Qaeda in America. It's coming. It will happen. The number one threat is veterans. Yeah, you. They're teaching you that you are the enemy. I mean, this is so over the top. That's how dumb they think everybody is. But let me tell you, when they start staging the events, or they, you know, when they bust the Al-Qaeda operative who'll be some, you know, 80 IQ moron with some other veteran who's brain damaged from IEDs, this is exactly who they'll look for. They'll just get them drunk or on drugs and have them say they're going to blow something up, and then it'll be on the news. Habib Hassan Durka Durka was planning with, you know, John Smith, the evil redneck, to kill the innocent, you know, people at the military base. I mean, this is the type of garbage they're doing so they can simulate it and get everybody scared. We're going to play this county judge coming up on the other side. Stay with us.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. We are here live. Back. Weeknight, 7 o'clock Central at PrisonPlanet.tv with InfoWars Nightly News. And back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. live with the Sunday transmission. We couldn't do any of this without your support, without the good Lord above, and without the incredible crew that I want to recognize in our reporters, video editors, researchers, customer service, shipping department, the writers, researchers, everyone. Amazing job. Please pray for the entire InfoWars Command Center crew, because we are at the tip of the spear, and we go forward cheerfully into the face of the globalist, knowing that our God is more powerful than the God of this world, who is nothing but a fallen destroyer. It's easy to kill, steal, and destroy. It's hard to create and build. That's the God we worship. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, we are broadcasting worldwide here. We've got McDonald's spying on your kids. That's mainstream news. A bunch of other articles. They're trying to break up the family. Also coming up, BBC censors video showing Syrian rebels forcing prisoner to become suicide bomber. Broadcaster attempts to hide, clear evidence of war crimes. You got to go watch the video. They've pulled it off their channel, but it's up there. They're digging through this family stuff, making fun of photos of their kids and the wife, and talking about what scum they are, basically, because the wife at the wedding, didn't have her face covered. And it's just a bunch of Al-Qaeda scum that have invaded the country. And then they torture this guy. And it's so heroic, the BBC reports. Oh, it's so cool. Oh, the New York Times also reports on it. We need Al-Qaeda, the CFR said 3 weeks ago. That's a quote. We need them. Oh, they're such fighters. Oh, they're so handsome. Oh, they're almost as good as G.I. Joe. Oh, can we get the G.I. Joe clip first? Before I get to the county judge in Lubbock, the head of the county commissioner's system, coming out and talking about martial law and the preparations for it. Oh!
Yo, Joe!
Yeah!
He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
He works for foreign banks. He grows the opium and ships it into America.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra, the enemy, fighting to save the...
Oh, Cobra that wears black mask?
Never can stop. He's always...
Cobra that stages terror attacks? Cobra that wants to dominate the world? Cobra.
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose, to defend human freedom against Cobra,
oh,
a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare. G.I. Joe.
Well, there you go. Now, everything Cobra does is what the New World Order does, including secret underground bases, staging terror attacks, manipulating currencies, brainwashing people, and wanting to rule the world. And you got to face it, our military that's committing suicide at record numbers knows that they basically serve, for all intents and purposes, Cobra. Isn't that interesting? You've got Destro, the international arms dealer. That's the New World Order. Everything we're taught about Cobra.
Cobra. I am Cobra Commander.
Whenever I did the Cobra Commander skit and interviewed myself, people thought that I'd had a voice changer or had an actor. No, that's me. I've done national voice talent, folks. I can basically be a mockingbird if I want to. I'm not bragging. I just want people saying it's not my voice.
I am the leader. I am Cobra Commander.
Anyways, also the voice of Starscream. Did you ever notice that?
No, Megatron, I will be the leader.
See? Thank you for joining us. Got to have a little bit of fun here occasionally, ladies and gentlemen, because this is the InfoWar. And I am here trying to rally people to awaken to that and defeat the globalist. All right, let's get serious here. This is good news and bad news. The media doesn't know what to do because this is a respected, longtime county judge. That's basically the mayor of the county. You don't live in Texas. And it's a very populous, about the most populous West Texas town, Lubbock. And to make a long story short, in fact, I'll just pull Lubbock up on a map for folks that are watching Prison Planet TV. I'll pull Lubbock up for everybody if you want to know where it's at. We'll back out here on the old Google map. So there's Lubbock. It's up close, to the middle of the panhandle, south of Amarillo, here in what they call terrorist country. Texas, that's where evil people actually want freedom, the Alamo, stuff like that. Just basically bad people that believe in the Second Amendment and stuff like that. That's why they admit in Louisiana, which is full of a lot of good folks. I'm not getting a rivalry going here. They even came out on the news a few years ago. They wait on the border, and when you drive in, they pull you over and try to manipulate state laws claiming you can't have a gun, even though you can, and take you to jail and then impound your car like you were visiting a crack house or something. Just want to put that little warning out to Texans that that's still going on. So drive into Louisiana at your own risk. A lot of people I know just drive around if they're going to Florida all the way through Arkansas. I got to warn people. It's kind of like Mexico down there with the police. But anyways, a side issue, digressing away from that, there's some towns in Texas they'll shake you down too. So let's be honest. If you're coming from Louisiana, there's some East Texas towns where they're going to rob you as well. So I guess it's just hillbilly kingdom. But that's I can't engage in Texas worship without talking about some of the bad stuff we do as well. But God bless Texas, and just God bless the fact that I am from Texas. That's one of the I am proud of my heritage. I have to admit it. I think I better shut up now. It is illustrious, but all right. I'm in a good mood. I apologize. I'm going to stop right there. Let's get serious here for a moment. Texas official warns of Obama civil war. And we're going to play a clip right now, and then I'm going to comment on the rest of the story, what this really signifies. Here is the county judge in Lubbock County, Texas. Here it is.
Judge Head says he and the county must be prepared for many contingencies, one that he particularly fears if President Obama is reelected.
He is going to try to hand over the sovereignty of the United States to the UN.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's going to happen when that happens? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking worst case scenario.
Right, okay? I understand.
Civil unrest, civil disobedience, civil war, maybe. I mean, we're not talking just a few riots here and demonstrations. Mm-hmm. We're talking Lexington, Concord, take up arms and get rid of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what's going to happen if we do that, if mm-hmm. the public decides to do that?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to send in UN troops. I don't want them in Lubbock County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stand in front of their armored personnel carriers and say, you're not coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff, I've already asked him, I said, are you going to back me? He said, yeah, I'll back you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want a bunch of rookies back there.
True.
I want trained, equipped, seasoned veteran officers to back me.
Whether you agree with the judge or think his theories are unrealistic, the reality is a tax hike that will provide an additional $832,433, coupled with about a $2 million cut to make these numbers work. You can sound off at two public hearings tomorrow morning at 10
All right.
and Monday, August 27th.
By the way, we're going to get him on the show, or at least try. Now, here's the issue. All this tax money that sent military weapons to the states and counties, fine, we'll just take it. See, it's all a war for the mind. If you've got the mind, it doesn't matter the landscape. And we don't brainwash and deceive and twist people to agree with us. We just lay the truth out unapologetically over and over again and say, hey, you watch what's going to happen. And you wait. The globalists try to drop the hammer. Because we've been out there warning everybody, everyone now knows what they see coming down the road. We're prepared. We're not caught flat-footed. And it's happening all over the country. Why do you think we get the Homeland Security reports? Why do you think we get those? I mean, I've been getting them for over a decade, but we finally had enough media power the last 4 years to get them out nationally. They say veterans, gun owners, libertarians, conservatives. I've got New York Times articles from 3-4 years ago where it shows the Boy Scouts. When I first reported on this a decade ago, no one believed me, even though I had the witnesses. They're training Boy Scouts nationwide in the Explorer Scout, 14 and up, that they will face veterans in gun confiscation, and they do door-to-door drills taking the guns. I mean, that's in the New York Times. Headline, Scouts Trained to Fight Terrorists and More. And it's got more than, 20 photos or so? We've shown it to you probably 100 times. And it shows them, if you click on the New York Times article itself, we also have it mirrored up at Infowars.com to be able to analyze it, taking on veterans. Okay, so you've always been the target. It's always been the plan. The foreign bankers run Al-Qaeda. When we say 9/11 is an inside job, we're saying criminal global cartels helped organize what transpired as a pretext to set up Homeland Security that would then be used against America.
Now, Lord Vader will provide us with the location of the rebel fortress by the time this station is operational. We will then crush the rebellion with one swift stroke.
I think Governor Talk is correct. Anyways, the point is that the globalists are the ones who are the usurpers. They are the revolutionaries. And most revolutions are not to bring freedom. This is a criminal group that is trying to overthrow our republic. They're illegitimate. 110%. And so they sat there and said none of this existed. And that's backfiring on them. They sat there and said, there's no world government. It's not run by megabanks, and they're not going to implode the world economy and then, you know, shut off your power. There's no such thing as Agenda 21. Now it's all happening. People are like, wow, this is really everything Alex Jones said is happening exactly as he said it would. Well, yeah, I mean, they got public white papers. I mean, I'm reading their plans. It'd be like if I had the coach's playbook and I was in all their meetings and then I'm now the other team and I know exactly what they're going to do. I know all the hand signs, all of it. This is not believe Alex Jones. See, they count on you just to believe, oh, I believe Obama. He reads off a teleprompter good. Or I believe Romney because he reads off a teleprompter good. He has a nice looking suit. No. You don't believe Alex Jones. You type in to a search engine, startpage.com or Google or whatever. You type in Army Field Manual Internment Camps for Americans. And you will be on the army.mil site. It won't be Alex Jones. it's there, okay? It's there. It's the equivalent of habeas corpus. Show me the crime. Show me the body. I'm saying dig in that backyard, you're going to dig up bodies. You dig, they're there. Like these bodies aren't even 5 feet under the ground. They're on the surface laying there. This is just waiting for you to go discover this. Waiting for you to realize the treason. And are we just going to sit there and let the big government buildings and the F-16s all intimidate us? Those are all being flown by Americans, by people that love freedom on average, until the drones are in place. See, that's why the globalists are racing, announcing they're going to start putting robots on the streets, even primitive ones, that basically just have cameras and weapons on them to acclimate you, because they cannot count on their own people anymore. That's why TSA is now trying to hire outright criminals. Oh, they run the background check, all right, to make sure they're a criminal. You see, tyranny rots very quickly. Once you get to a certain point, you go downhill three or four times faster than you were just a second ago. You start racing, and we're now hitting that racing point. But we're seeing the immune system kick in, because everybody I know, successful in business, in literature, in art, in you name it. A lot of amazing people live in Austin that I get to, you know, meet and know over the years. They are all, not just intellectually, but in their gut, just running around in circles trying to do something right now. Because they know, everybody knows in their gut. You know, it's the strangest thing. Sometimes it only happens like once a year or something. The phone will ring. My wife calls all the time on the hotline, two or three times a day, but the hotline will ring and I'll have a bad feeling. And I'll know it's bad news when I pick the phone up, when one of the kids falls off the porch and, you know, cuts their head open or whatever. Go ahead and give me the bad news. We've got that, folks, but you don't even need your sixth sense to know what's going on here. It's ridiculous. We're the plum of the globalist. We're that plum, that brass ring, that jewel, that ring of power. They fully get this country under their control. The world better look out, because they plan to use us as a battering ram against every other nation. Whether that nation be good or bad, it doesn't matter. We are now a captured system. And now they're telling us torture is good and secret arrest is good. And yeah, we are spying on you without warrants. And you know what? It isn't Al-Qaeda. It's good old boys that are the terrorists. It's happening. It's happening right now, and it's time to have a gut check. Hundreds of publications brag that we've been captured by foreign banks. And so it's not just me saying this under law, under organic common law, under our Constitution, under international law. We have right to revolt. But I say don't play into their hands a physical confrontation. Because most people are just dumbed down zombies following a brainwashing template. The fight is in the info war. That's why the globalists want to kick off a physical conflict, because we're going to have a velvet revolution here of ideas if we continue on this trajectory. We're winning. The churches are government run, telling you it's the end of the world, and they tell the New Agers it's 2012, so everybody stands down in the takeover. But our forebears didn't stand down. We're not going to stand down. And even if it was the end of the world, God isn't going to let you into those pearly gates, I will assure you, if you didn't stand against evil while you were here. This is a test. Make no mistake. And you better be worried about your eternal soul. And if atheists, I see your comments on YouTube get mad by that. Give me a break. Okay, I got my faith. I'm not getting in the way of what you believe in. Let me tell you, the New World Order believes in a God. And let me tell you, it's a nasty God. They don't want you to think anything's out there, so you don't realize there's a lot going on in this world that can't be explained. There's a lot of things in this world that aren't just in your little books. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, straight ahead, and we'll get into Al-Qaeda taking over family homes, ransacking everything, and then driving daddy down the road.
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913 made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid. So Cyrus Jones lived forever.
You know who lives forever?
Grave digger.
In the hearts and minds.
When you dig my grave.
You know who we admire? Even the evil people.
So
those that selflessly stand up against bullies and tyrants. Make sure you're on the right side of history.
Mural Stonewall, 1903.
This life goes by so quick.
She lost both of her babies.
What matters is what you stand for.
Now you should never have to watch your only children lowered in the ground. I mean, you should never have to bury your own babies.
Grave digger. All right, we're going to get into the huge Al-Qaeda news at the bottom of the next hour because we just set up Syrian girl who comes from a prominent exiled Syrian family who's actually anti-Assad but also don't want Al-Qaeda killing everybody. And everything she's been covering the last 8 months has been proven completely documented, and they're getting ready for a staged chemical false flag to blame it on Assad. And again, we're not saying Assad's good, but he's an angel compared to Al-Qaeda, a veritable angel. He's an angel compared to his dad. Even Steve Pachinik, who was arrested by his dad, has said that on the show. Steve Pachinik, who head of Black Ops, State Department over the CIA. By the way, he's going to be on the show. I know some of you don't like him. I understand that. The point is he's a really interesting, serious, deep-level person, deep inside the secret state, who comes on this show. So we can learn a lot from him. Even though, obviously, when he's on, he's got an agenda. We'd be fools not to know that. It's just important to talk and to learn things. That's what we do. We learn things by what questions people don't answer or how they answer them. We immerse ourselves in the intelligence so that we may learn and develop a palate and a nose for what's real. And only immersion in InfoWar will give you that full spectrum awareness, which is only a tiny glimmer of the overall potential of humanity. But by full spectrum awareness, you're at least realizing that there's a compendium of information all around you. I want to get your take on this judge, specifically on this question when we come back, on more and more county commissioners, more and more people coming out and saying, hey, we're not going to put up with world government being announced and having our power plants shut off and having our taxes raised and being told we're under world government and having the Supreme Court justices, four of them, say that they're going to follow orders from the world court. I mean, that is an overthrow. That is a usurpation. It's happening. We're under a North American Union. We're deep into this, and people are waking up. This is exciting. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Now, that said, two program notes. I almost don't even want to plug this again because we sold 20,000 copies of the new magazine at cost in one day. I ordered another 20,000 printed from the place, put that order in. They're coming today, and half those have sold. So if you want to get the InfoWars Magazine, Financial Collapse Edition. Sign up at InfoWars.com/ InfoWars.com/ newsletter. And we will send it back out again today, but so our regular readers don't get mad at the same email. In our regular news blast with other new news, we'll have a link in there for you to be able to read it online for free, the digital copy. But you can still right now order copies if you get your order in quick, as fast as they're going. They may be sold out today at InfoWarsShop.com. Order them in 10, 20, 50, and 100 packs.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
There's another unbelievable TSA story. They're not just running around at highway checkpoints now or showing up at Paul Ryan events. TSA now, when they do these stupid chat downs, they take an 8-hour course to then identify you're a terrorist. Hey, the terrorists are who your boss has got on the plane, you know, the underwear bomber. And now they get real mad if you won't answer their stupid questions. It's like, come on, man. Not enough you want to grab my children's body parts and my wife, but now I got to sit here and answer your stupid questions. And if you don't like it, I can't fly because you're God. So you can just immobilize me like I'm somebody in Nazi Germany and I can't travel. How about you just go straight to Hades? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not playing your stupid games. What are you, a convicted pervert or something? I know that's who they hire to be the commander of your organization. We hate you. We know who you are and we're exposing you. Maggots. Now, used to, I'd say, not all the TSA are bad, blah, blah, blah. A lot of them just want jobs, and they always have the special supervisor that's the perv that likes to grab your wife. But we need to recognize this for what it is and get angry about it. You just joined us. Our top story is a county judge. That means the head of the county commission in Lubbock has said they got to get ready for martial law and UN invasion. But it won't be that exactly, and I'll explain that after the break. But let's start going to some of your phone calls. And we'll get into Al-Qaeda ransacking homes, doing horrible things, torturing people, and then making them suicide bomb. Or they kill their family. In the propaganda piece, but I researched it more, they don't even tell you that. They say, oh, they told him, you go free, just drive this truck. Well, the guy obviously knew and got out, so it didn't blow up the police. But they don't tell you that in these cases, but it came out later in a side issue that they threatened to kill their family that still lives in the village where Al-Qaeda has occupied. And they tell daddy after torturing him, you're going to go do this or you're dead. And who knows what the loving Al-Qaeda will do to the families in the village now. I'm sure it'll be something. Maybe Al-Qaeda should be given a peace prize. In fact, I'm going to nominate Al-Qaeda for a peace prize. I mean, they gave one to Obama, and Al-Qaeda, we're told, is valiant and loving and good and hiding in our underwear, so the TSA, well, has to, you know, do what they do best. Sharon in West Virginia, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alex, thanks for taking my call, and thanks for getting the news out to us. It really sounds to me like they're ramping up their plan to clamp down on us, and I believe that we are living in a police state, but right now we need more than ever to embrace our police and our military and wake them up.
No, it's an emergency situation, because if we don't, there's going to probably be a civil war, and they'll be committed against us, and then we're going to have no choice but to defend ourselves. So it's either wake them up or things won't look good. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've got to talk to our troops or any friends in the police department we have, any family members that are in the military. We need to talk to them. You can't jam it down their throat like a starving dog will take a bone from your hand, but if you try to jam it down his throat, he's going to spit it back out at you.
In my experience, it's best to just hammer people with info, and because if they don't already know something's wrong, they just need that confirmation and support. We need to get the buzz going, and the buzz is going against this tyranny, but we need it to explode and race across the country in peaceful resistance to the foreign occupational takeover. Then we can start arresting the globalists. Once we ever get to that point, they push too far. Well, we could look. The Fast and Furious thing could lead right through all their ranks, right through the ranks of all the criminals. We could arrest thousands of them just off that. Go ahead.
Did Iceland get bounty hunters to go after the banksters?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah, 400,000 Vikings.
How can we do that? Wouldn't that be a great place to
start? Well, we have to wake up. Yeah, we have to be smart enough. See, the Icelanders hadn't been drinking fluoride. They put fluoride in there to brain damage us. I mean, Harvard admits it. I mean, they assault us. These people are beyond criminal. And you notice they poison everybody. Cops, military, bureaucrats, FBI agents, they're all killing you too. You just got to have the courage to admit it.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Coming to you live from deep in the heart of Texas, Austin. I am Alex Jones, your host. Thank you so much again for joining us for another hour of worldwide transmission against tyranny in defense of liberty. We are going to be going to your phone calls here in a moment. Obviously, you're throwing out the topic there. We played the clip earlier. We'll play it again later in the hour. A county judge, the head of the county commissioner's court, it's like the county city council, I know some states don't have that system, said they're getting ready for world government, the takeover of America. If Obama is reelected, he thinks that there's going to be a revolution. Now, again, obviously, Romney's a globalist as well. But the fact that more and more people are talking like this, this is a pretty big, you know, county, big city out there, one of the biggest in West Texas. And it just shows this is the type of info I'm getting from police, military, on and off the air. And just amazing sources at the State House. I've talked to state senators off the record that say, look, we know what's going on. We hate the New World Order. And they know John Warner Defense Authorization Act is designed to use FEMA and the regular big army against the states if the states say no to tyranny. The federal government has been seized by foreign banking cartel. I mean, it's that simple. In fact, I've played this probably 50 times.
Now, the question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Jim Urio, you say we've got some downside here, a correction in the markets. Fine. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do? Aren't we all just counting on the fact that there's a Bernanke put and that we won't go any lower than, say, 5% down from here?
Of course we are, because if we look at the economic data, there's nothing to get excited about in that. So we, you know, yesterday we saw some reluctance.
And they go on through the other four guests as saying we're under foreign banks. Here's how they took over. Hey, you got to congratulate how good they were at taking over. Yeah. Would you be mad if the Russians were doing this? Yeah, you'd be up in arms today. Would you be mad if the Chinese? Yeah, you'd be up in arms today. Would you be mad if the Germans did this? Yeah, you'd be up in arms. If Mexico could do this, you'd be up in arms. We don't need to get up in arms. We don't want to get up in arms. We need to stop falling back that, oh, we're just going to wait and, you know, we're going to wait till they try to march down our street. And then when the UN comes down our road, our police are going to fight with them. They're not going to come in blue helmets. That's why they've unified our military with the UN with blue, dark blue berets and black berets, mainly black berets. They're unifying the command structure. They're unifying the police codes. They're trying to head this off by federalizing the police right now. They're giving police, if they're special and in the right units, but soon it'll be all of them, little federal ID cards. It's all happening. The federal government got taken over. This is elementary. The federal government got taken over. And I know you know this as regular listeners, but we've got to go talk to our neighbors like they're 5 years old and go, let me explain what happened. Foreign mega banks, the ones that brag they've conquered the world. Here's a free InfoWars magazine that has all their quotes in an article called Bankers Have Conquered the United States. Here's links to the videos where they say it. They explain how they created $1,500 trillion in fake paper, had government sign on to the debt that isn't even our debt to hold us hostage, and then their agenda is called Agenda 21, which means total takeover of society and turning us into poor prisoners, basically. In their words, they call it a prison planet. That's why I had prisonplanet.com. They say we need to go to a Chinese-style control system, a prison planet. So we fight a prison planet with the info war. And here we are now, and they're getting ready to really implode the economy, but they don't want to do it until they think everyone is prepared for it. And then they can pose as the saviors in the reorganization of the country. More than half the nation in their official UN maps, we just showed one on screen, will be off limits. These maps were shown in Congress in 1993. We can put those back on screen. Core reserves, little or no human use. Buffer zones, highly regulated use. And by the way, that map in 92, the area right outside Austin where they have it in red is the area they stole from ranchers and people took away from them, but then built on it themselves later. I mean, this is they're doing this, okay? They're following a plan, a recipe. It'd be like if my wife said, hey, will you stop by Whole Foods on the way home? I need this, this, and that. You know, need some type of fish, need you to get some ginger, need you to get some of this sauce. Oh, you're making my favorite fish, yes. I need you to get some broccoli, need you to get some cauliflower, whatever the case is, some artichoke hearts. And then I come home and she's got a recipe and she sits there and cooks it. So, you know, we're watching the New World Order takeover. They even tell us what the recipe is. Cut off the resources, pose as saviors, get everybody fighting with each other on racial and religious issues while the corporate banksters rule over us and shut down our economy in phases while posing as saviors so a bunch of mega monopoly corporations can take over who are anti-free market. Now, I know I say that almost every day here on the show, and I'm going to continue to say that. I'm going to continue to warn you because that's it. That's the game plan. And if we don't get that out to people, it's over. It's over. This isn't just a takeover financially. They want to physically, once and for all, have a war with the American people using police and military, who they hate with a passion, while they sit offshore. We all kill each other and just wear each other out. The economy breaks down further. They blame the economy imploding on the civil war slash race war. While the globalists sit there with their controlled media that's government financed with your tax money, telling you how great they are and how they're trying to stop all the problems. It'd be like a fire department that set fire to your house and then came over to your house and said, oh, look, we put it out for you. That's why you pay us. That's why fire departments actually started in Rome. You can look it up. Julius Caesar's family became prominent and wealthy and kind of put him into where he was early on because they had run one of the main fire departments and it was private. And you had to pay it protection money or they burn down your neighborhood. That's people think the Italian mafia invented that 100 years ago in New York where they'd say pay us protection or somebody's going to burn down your grocery store. That came from Italy. And they didn't get it from the black nobility 1,000 years ago on the west coast of Italy. No, they got it. That's like 2,200 years old. Okay. 2,200 years old. I mean, that's what government turns into when it's criminal. Let us take your rights or Al-Qaeda is going to kill you. Well, hey, you run Al-Qaeda. Here's all the proof. Shut up, conspiracy theorists. But wait, it's on the news that you run Al-Qaeda. And look at this National Guard magazine cover, The Threat at Home. And it says veterans, it's teaching the military to fight themselves. Now, when you're 25 years old and in the Army, or in the National Guard, 30 years old, you know, 5 years from now, sounds like a long time. But 5 years goes by in about 10 seconds, and now, oh, you're the bad guy. While they have this overlaid propaganda about, oh, let's have rock concerts for the wounded veterans. Oh, let's raise some money and give them a college tuition. Oh, we love the veterans. We love them. They're the number one threat. Prepare to arrest them and take their Second Amendment and lock them up in psych wards if they do anything wrong. Speaking of that, then we'll go to your calls. First Amendment violated as Facebook assists police in pre-crime investigations. Now, I'm going to be honest with you about this. We began reporting on this Sunday when it first happened, and you notice Infowars.com is surveilled by Homeland Security. That's come out in four-year documents and been national news, as if we needed to know Big Sis was watching us. But continuing here, it's okay, honey. We're watching you. That's good. We're glad you're watching. Have all your people tune in. Have them all listen. I think the truth's going to sell better than living under your weird, perverted tyranny. All right, continuing here. First Amendment violated as Facebook assists police in pre-crime investigations. That's a Suzanne Posell article. Her articles are really doing well, getting picked up by a lot of publications now that we're publishing her at Infowars.com, and she goes over a lot of the evidence of it. But this is in NBC News. It's also in the Associated Press. The Marine, Brandon Robb, the Rutherford Institute, we've had on before, very respected First Amendment Constitution defending group. John Whitehead said he's talked to him. He is incredibly cogent, very lucid. He doesn't have any mental problems. He's never seen a psychiatrist on this particular incident. He's never been on any kind of medication or drugs. He's a decorated Marine, you know, combat Marine. That's why they've got his file. They're scared of him. A bunch of combat he's seen. Now, the point is that on his giant Facebook, now it's turning out somebody else responding to him posted part of a song about sharpening the axe, some song lyrics. And the FBI came with the police in front of his family who videotaped it, and thank God he didn't resist, so they'd have killed him, and just took him off to a mental institution and committed him. The government did. And now the Rutherford Institute is suing and trying to get him out. They're having a hearing right now. And so he first did all this on August 13th. Well, they came and grabbed him a few days later. And I'll be honest, you know, we reported on it, but I thought, well, maybe they know, because, you know, I'm still giving the benefit of the doubt just a little bit. Not that I know it won't be evil and bad in the final equation, but I still just can't have that be a default. So I said, yeah, looks bad. We wrote articles about it. Then we started learning other talk show hosts and people that we've had articles at InfoWars about. You've heard it here on the show, who say things even milder, like the hammer's coming down, I'm buying more guns to protect myself. They come and grab them, psychiatrically commit them, take their guns. So this looks like how they're going to try to come at us. Well, it doesn't look like it. This is what's happening. Is via saying we're mentally ill if we say there's a tyranny. And the one reason they said, the fact that he believed the government stages terror attacks is a sign of mental illness. That was in the court filings. Now we're now getting all the court filings that he's crazy. He thinks the government stages stuff. ABC News, Reuters, AP, Gulf of Tonkin, USS Liberty, Operation Ajax, London Guardian this week had an article about the U.S. government and false flags. Are we going to arrest all them? Hey, listen, you're not going to be able to throw us all in your little Soviet loony bins with your nutcase little tyrant psychologist and people that have never even lived in the real world, okay? And everybody's up in arms about this. People are out there protesting outside the psych ward. And the veterans that realize what's happening. So keep pushing it, globalists. Keep pushing it. Brandon Robb of Virginia in closing, then I'm going to go to your calls. I was telling them, try to get him on the show as soon as they get him out of the government brainwashing thought crime camp. That's what it is. I'm not just using those terms. That's what it is. As soon as the Ministry of Love police release him out of the Ministry of Truth, because war is peace and slavery is a good thing, according to them, I want to get him on. It turned out McBreen is already in contact with the lady that the family gave the video to. They're scared of the feds. But they're listeners. They're all listeners. Of course he's a listener. And I just knew it. And so we're going to try to get them on the show as soon as they get him out of the lunatic asylum. Totally cogent, totally focused. It's some lyrics from a song about sharpening an axe. I mean, the globalists are sharpening their axe for America. Foreign banks. The courts are ruling foreign banks can take your bank account. And just keep your money now. I mean, they're criminals. They're criminals. And just like in other countries, the police and military need to recognize this. Let's go to John in Texas, then we'll go to everybody else that's holding. Go ahead, John, you're on the air.
Hey there, Mr. Jones.
Hey.
I'm a veteran from OIF-3. I was a combat medic with 57 Cavalry and 3rd Infantry Division. I've been meaning to call for a while, but I work the night shift, so it's a little hard to do. But and this is a little off the topic, but I wanted to let you know how the military treats their soldiers or former soldiers. I've been working for the past almost 7 years to better myself and get back into the medical field, and they really make it hard on you. But all that aside, there were some things that that happened overseas. I was labeled with severe PTSD by three VA psychiatrists. Therefore, I probably won't be able to own a firearm.
Well, all you do is go buy one at a gun show. You don't own firearms?
Well, I'd like to say that my wife owns some firearms.
Oh, yeah.
That way. But, you know, all that aside, you know, we did some things that were pretty heinous, and I'd like to get more in depth with you if possible.
Well, just briefly, go ahead and just tell us what you did that was heinous.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. When I was in Iraq, I had asked for time off. My fiance was cheating on me with my best friend. My dad was putting me in 17 grand worth of debt, as well as I was having some severe nightmares and stuff like that on my 4 hours off. We were doing 20 hours on and 7 days a week. What happened was I wound up using some morphine, and I have a VA psychiatrist saying that it was self-medication. However, I was court-martialed with a general court-martial. I was facing 67 years to life. I wound up pleading guilty. I didn't deny the fact that I did it at all.
Yeah, but you're saying that's heinous? It's heinous to have people for years on end, you know, 20 hours on and stuff. That's why the troops, I mean, it's like trying to blow an engine on a car. They're just absolutely abusing the daylights out of the military while talking about how they love you all day. So that's what's heinous? That doesn't sound...
Oh, yeah. Well, I had asked for time off several times, and that's documented.
Okay, but I mean, what's heinous, sir?
Well, like I said, I used some morphine, and they court-martialed me. I wound up serving a year in military penitentiary.
Well, listen, John, I appreciate your call, and I'm sorry to hear that happen to you. That's why there's record numbers of suicides with the military right now, because not only do they do this type of stuff to people, but after you burn out, they put you on a bunch of drugs, which say on the insert, they cause you to commit suicide. And then you wonder why they're committing suicide. They're basically giving the troops suicide pills, and then as they commit suicide, they're decommissioning them, they're killing them. Or as they go home and kill their wives and children, they then use that to take all the veterans' guns and rights. It's unbelievable. Again, it's a problem reaction solution program. And so that's why they're 7 to 8-fold the record numbers of troops committing suicide. And they're now giving them all sorts of hardcore psychotropic nasal sprays that wipe their brains. It's just open mind control, just like they openly grow the opium in Afghanistan. And when we exposed it, they just went on TV and said, yeah, we grow the opium. Big deal. We catch you using it, you go to jail. We're going to ship it into your country, though. And Pat Tillman, keep your mouth shut. Pew! He died fighting Al-Qaeda. Oh, they got caught killing him still. I'd rather believe he died fighting Al-Qaeda because I care about the military. Yep. See, I mean, it's delusion. It's delusion.
Listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I am your host, Alex Jones. We are blasting out on XM channel 166. Audio streams and the free podcast at prisonplanet.com, infowars.com, and streaming video live at prisonplanet.tv. Not just for the live 3-hour radio show, but the extensive, sometimes 3-hour long, with incredible guests and information, nightly news, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, prisonplanet.tv. Now, I will, after Syrian Girl leaves us, get to Tim and get to Julio, and get to Ben, and Diane, and others. You know, I was asking listeners, what do you think of the judge coming out in Lubbock, the head of the county commission? It's called a judge here in Texas. and saying, you know, they're gearing up for martial law, for a foreign new world order takeover, and I need seven more deputies just to deal with that there in the county. Just to deal with preparations for that. And going on Fox News locally and talking about it. And no one called in to comment on that. You know, we don't always just have open phones. Sometimes I say, here's the topic. I want to get your view on that. Because it's almost just like a free-for-all from every angle. You know, I want to be able just to shoot the breeze with everybody. But, I just can't sit here while all this is going on and just go down rabbit trails. That said, we're going to be going to your calls. I hope it's on that subject or something dealing with the mainstream media admitting we're on the edge of financial collapse, all these foreign armies, you know, lining up on borders with each other, just all of the destabilization that we're seeing take place. I mean, this is the big issue. This is what we have to focus on. Now, coming up, we have a bunch of new TSA news. TSA swabbing flyers' hands for explosives during chat downs. Now they're showing up on the streets. TSA rifling through bags and conducts pat downs at Paul Ryan event. We're going to be getting more into that report. That's from last night. It's now scrolled off InfoWars main page. That's why it's important to click the breaking news link, because that's a menu of all the stories of the day and yesterday. And there's another link that's top stories, that's stuff out of the featured news. So those links up there at the top are absolutely essential. I hear people on other talk shows going, Alex isn't covering this or that. Yeah, we are. It's just there's so much news, it's scrolling off the page. So those links are absolutely essential. Also, our top stories go out on Real Alex Jones on Twitter. Be sure and follow that. On our Facebook, one of our Facebooks. We've got about a million members total on all our different Facebooks. We need to consolidate those somehow. But all of that said, I've got other important news. They're gearing up for what looks like provocateur actions at the RNC in Tampa, which may be canceled because of the hurricane steering perfectly towards it. So we're going to be going over all of that. And we're also going to be here in just a moment, obviously getting into one of our top stories today. BBC censors video showing Syrian rebels forcing prisoner to become suicide bomber. This is chilling video and audio. If you're a radio listener, go to InfoWars.com. It's embedded in the article. The BBC has pulled this, but we have a copy of it. So does the Daily Telegraph there in England. This is big. This is big. Because, yeah, everybody knows the West runs Al-Qaeda now. We were talking about that a year and a half ago with the start of the Libya thing. People didn't believe it. But now it's out in the open. But to actually see it and to see them making people suicide bomb or they basically kill their families, that's really waking people up about totally how immoral. The ruling class is beyond not caring and being Machiavelli. They enjoy it. We're going to her here in just a moment. She's under the weather, but she's still willing to come on the show, and we're honored to have her. First off, though, I have pulled the trigger on this. We cannot print more because our shipping department cannot handle it. I was going to print 50,000. Then I decided to print 70,000 of the new InfoWars magazine, the first inaugural edition. And we put 50,000 for free on the streets of Austin. Advertising paid for that. The others, we hope selling at cost, you know, would pay for it. I miscalculated, and we're selling them when we counted our crew and you know all that. I was losing money on it, so I went up a few dollars on the bulk orders. So it's really at cost. We actually did the numbers. I just kind of guesstimated it and got it wrong. But we sold 30,000 in the last 36 hours or so. 30,000 copies. There are 10,000 copies left as of the start of the show. I got to go check. So if you want to get the inaugural first edition, I'm not printing anymore because I can't ship them all out. Okay, we just aren't set up for that. We're going to get a separate shipping department or a company to do it if this continues to take off like this. Because, I mean, they're in there working 15 hours a day right now just trying to get these out. And we will get them out. We'll probably be about a week behind. The point is you can get an e-copy for free. It's digital. The links all work. It's almost just as cool or cooler in a way than the print at Infowars.com/newsletter. So sign up there for free. Sign up there for free. And we will send you that along with the daily news alerts and all the rest of it. We'll resend it out again today. And in the news blast, they're going to send out this afternoon. There'll be a link in there. You'll have to look for it because we're not going to send out a whole other email with it again or irritate people if it's just the same one again. Probably won't irritate them, but whatever. We're going to send out a news alert this afternoon. It'll have a link in there again if you missed it. And you can also pay it forward, send this email on to others so they can see it as well. But 90,000 copies, 80,000 of them out there sold or on the street. Less than 10,000 left right now, InfoWarsShop.com. You can buy them in groups of 100. Buy them in groups of 20, 50, 10. And the version you're going to get doesn't have the typo on the front, say, Bankers Plot to Destory U.S. Economy. This was an early print, one run we did that had a typo on it. You'll be getting the one that doesn't have the collector's typo. I'm joking. So that's it. And we'll have to gauge it next month and hopefully be ready to supply you. We're, the request to franchise are flooding in right now. The people are asking for the racks, the handsome InfoWars racks. So we're going to start selling those tomorrow for businesses that are buying them in bulk and are going to sell them and have them in their business. It's on. And so there you go, mainstream media. You could have had popular print. Your print's dying because of your content. Just like your websites are dying. No one likes you. No one believes you. But the dumbest of the dumb. Your time is coming to a close. Go ahead and try to start martial law. I'm not looking forward to it, but it's going to be the end of you. We're going to get you criminals off our stinking backs. Okay. Now, Syrian Girl joins us. We'll talk for this segment. Come back and play the video and the audio of Al-Qaeda ransacking a home. They've taken over a neighborhood. They're making fun of wedding pictures. Putting down the fact that the women don't have their faces covered in wedding pictures and swimming in their swimming pool. And then they torture somebody from the village and tell them that, you know, he can have the truck if he just drives it down the street and it's full of bombs. And they're also getting people and saying, we'll kill your families if you don't go bomb. And that's where most of the suicide bombers are. Suicide bombers are usually dead guys in a truck that's being remote controlled. That's cheap technology you can buy for about $800. That's been confirmed. Or it's somebody where they've got their three-year-old back there, you know, tied up in piano wire, and they're going to, you know, they hack up the seven-year-old and go, your three-year-old's dead if you don't go bomb. Okay, that's what the CIA is. Because it's not our government. It's foreign banker run. Raping children in Abu Ghraib in front of their parents, Army report. When you sign on, no wonder the troops are committing suicide. The propaganda isn't real, and they're treated like dirt. On top of it, we've got totally wicked globalists running things. I'm going to quit ranting. Joining us, Syrian Girl, is herself Sunni. She's not Shiite. It's Sunnis out of different countries like Saudi Arabia in there trying to kill the Shiites. And so she's such a credible witness because her family are exiles from there. They didn't like Assad. But she's saying this is wrong and evil and has been speaking out for 8 months eloquently and exposing from family she still got there everything that's happening. She's been proven right. And so she joins us to give us a report and a breakdown. I know she's seen this video because this is just par for the course of the unbelievable evil where they say we're going to kill your wife and children if you don't do a suicide bombing. And this is the heroes. This is who we're supposed to worship. Syrian Girl, what is it like to see this video and to see the CFR 2 weeks ago come out and say, quote, we need Al-Qaeda and talk about how great they are? Is it hurtful to see Al-Qaeda killing people?
Of course it's hurtful to see Al-Qaeda killing people. And, you know, it's when I look at what's happening in Syria, I can't believe that this is Syria I'm looking at because it's totally different to what we're used to. I know that the Middle East is perceived as this violent place and, you know, these sort of things are sort of common for us, but it's really not. And we're used to having a nice, peaceful life in Syria. You know, maybe we are not rich, but at the end of the day, we have our families, you know, we have the tomorrow. But what they've taken away is tomorrow for us. And these horrors that are happening is just not just shocking for the world, but shocking to a Syrian as well to see it. And the fact that these Al-Qaeda guys, you know, they've taken tactics that we've seen before. So what happened with this video that the BBC took down from their website that's now available on my YouTube channel, they took this man, they tortured him, got him to admit something about being pro-regime or with the, like, fighting alongside the regime. And it's, you could see all the bruises on him. And then they put him in a truck and they drove him to another truck full of explosives. But what they told him was that if he drove this truck to an army checkpoint, that his dad was waiting for him there and that he would be released. But as a matter of fact, he didn't realize, he didn't even know that the truck had explosives in it. And they were going to detonate it once he reached the checkpoint. But the detonator didn't work. And the New York Times video, the original video, it's all there. And I think it actually got taken down as well from the website. I just heard a tweet.
That's right. I was just noticing the New York Times has now pulled it. BBC has pulled it. This is really backfiring on them big time right now. The loving Al-Qaeda, making fun of the wedding photos, torturing the guy, all of it. In fact, do you want to air it now and come back from break and comment on it?
Sure.
Let's go ahead and play this. And since it's for radio, the video is going to stream, but we're going to narrate some of this where there's not audio. Here it is.
A bomb being prepared on the back of a truck. The target, a nearby Syrian government checkpoint at the entrance of the city of Aleppo. This video was shot by reporters for the New York Times, who spent 5 days with a group that fights under the banner of the Free Syrian Army. The group call themselves the Lions of Tabweed and say they'll accept nothing less than the end of the regime of President Bashar al-Assad. This 52-man unit is led by a former accountant and is becoming increasingly organized as the bloody battle for the city of Aleppo continues.
We are all going to be martyrs eventually, but not for nothing.
Taken over the abandoned flat of a police captain loyal to the regime, who's left his personal possessions behind. As well as the family photos, they're also enjoying the luxuries he once had.
Little class envy.
At their base, the group have a prisoner. They say he's a member of the Shabiha militia.
Let's hit pause.
Loyal to the government.
By the way, I mean, this guy, obviously, they knew what they were doing. They picked the biggest. This guy looks like he's mentally retarded. I mean, that's who they do for these suicide bombs. This guy looks like he might have an 80 IQ. I mean, you could tell when somebody, the way they talk and look at me, he's dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, obviously, you'd know they're putting you on a truck with a bunch of stuff on the back. It's going to explode. But by the grace of God, God protects the little children. That includes mentally retarded people. Let's continue with the video and then get Syrian girl's take on it. Here it is.
Which is loyal to the government and that he's confessed to carrying out killings. He bears the bruises of a beating, it's said, from those who'd held him before tonight. The rebels appear to be treating him well, offering him cigarettes and a shower, and he's told that he'll be released as part of a prisoner exchange. Blindfolded, he's driven towards the city. He's told all he'll have to do is drive the truck towards a government checkpoint. What he doesn't know is the truck is the one that's been rigged with a 300-kilo bomb. The rebel fighters intend to detonate it remotely when he approaches the checkpoint. He's being tricked into being an unwitting suicide bomber. But the fighters return disappointed. When they pressed the detonator, the bomb failed to explode. The New York Times journalists who filmed all of this say that at the time, they were not aware of the rebels' intentions.
Oh, yeah, right.
Using prisoners as suicide bombers would certainly be considered a war crime. And whilst those opposing President Assad have said they respect the rights of prisoners, this video shows what some rebel fighters are willing to do. Gordon Carrera, BBC News.
Now, the BBC's pulled it, New York Times is pulling it, and early on, the New York Times was quite proud of this. This was some wonderful jihading that they were showing us, but now they get, like when they say they're torturing people, including their kids, like, we're supposed to like that. We're like, we don't like that. They go, oh, we'll arrest those we ordered to do it then. But it just shows the absolute depths of immorality and wickedness seizing control. But we see the footage where they're throwing families off buildings, murdering people, burning up, blowing up churches, which really makes Obama's people happy. What do you make of this new footage? Why do you think they were so proud of it at first? They thought we'd love it.
I think that they showed the fact that they're organized and the fact that they're actually taking over houses and they're controlling these areas. Maybe they thought that they could get away with it being a show of force, you know, as if, you know, the insurgency is winning. That could be how they intended the message to come across. But on the other hand, it could have just been a mistake. And once the editors saw the backlash, you know, they quickly took it down. Perhaps they didn't realize that people are not that brainwashed, you know. They realize when a war crime is being committed. So I just wanted to say as well that this is not new. It's not a new tactic in Iraq. Many times cars had been found with booby-trapped bombs in the trunk of the car. And it didn't go off because it was found previously. And that's how these things were done.
That's been confirmed. They were doing that in Iran where they put the bomb in somebody else's car that they knew was going into a ministry. And then they say that person's a suicide bomber when it blows up.
Exactly. And there was another video actually released from Syria where they have this guy, they have him make a video talking about suicide. But in fact, because he's been kidnapped, he explodes himself and takes them with him. So again, this video is also on my YouTube channel because he's obviously going to be killed anyway.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, you strap me with suicide bombs, I'm going to blow you up. I'm not going to go blow up some police. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. On the other side, we're going to talk about what Syrian Girl predicted 3 weeks ago. They're now saying Assad's going to use chemical weapons. So here comes the Peace Prize president with bombs. By the way, InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are funded by our sponsors and you clicking on them. And the sites are maxed out. We sell as much advertising as we have traffic. They're basically sold out. But we need to raise funds in other areas. And there's a lot of areas we haven't monetized, different areas. And we're looking for partners that want to that we can review your products to see if they're top flight for us to promote. To have a relationship with us. We're looking for firearms distributors, manufacturers, ammo, sales, Army, Navy, and survival. Okay? That's what we're looking for with partnerships to review your products to see if I would like to endorse them and promote them in some new advertising venues that we have. There's a bunch of them that are completely untapped audiences that are hungry for the truth and your quality products. And I have a new salesman. He's one of the guys you've seen on Brothers in Arms. Gunsmith, Matt Williams. It's Williams@InfoWars.com. Send your products to him because if I'm going to accept firearms and other manufacturing as a survivalist as well, we have to review the products. That's why I have him in here to review them. We don't just take any sponsor. I turn them down constantly. So he's here to review it. We would like to work with you if you have high-quality products. Williams@InfoWars.com. Williams@InfoWars.com. Okay. There's also the regular advertise link also on InfoWars.com. But Williams is the guy handling all the tactical stuff. Okay. Let's go ahead and go back to Syrian Girl for this segment and the next little short one. Continuing here, getting in to the nerve gas. They're saying that Assad's going to use nerve gas, so now NATO's got to bomb the country to help al-Qaeda take over. And meanwhile, al-Qaeda has thousands of missiles they got out of Libya, and that's admitted. I mean, this is just wild. What is Syria facing on that front? Are the humanitarian love bombs coming?
Well, the dangerous thing that's occurring in Syria right now is that they're arming the insurgents with anti-air weapons. And, you know, there's already been reports that they were armed with chemical weapons. So if, you know, if they have this level of sophistication in weapons, it's going to be very dangerous for Syria. And if they use the chemical weapons and the government is blamed for it, that's going to be taken to the UN. And when that's taken to the UN, it could result in either a full sanctions on Syria, in which Syria is starved for 10 years, as Iraq was. You know, weakened and starved, not given no arms trade, no trade of any kind, no medicine trade, no clean water. And that's how you destroy a nation that's too strong to destroy front on. So that's what might eventually happen in Syria. I'm not sure if we would see a direct confrontation as an outcome in the next few years, but it's always a possibility. And, you know, that might actually be coming from Syria's side, because when you corner a cat, eventually it's going to lash out at you. And that might be what we eventually see. And if that happens, it's going to be a regional war.
Well, I agree with you. And it's just so sad to see all of this unfolding. When we come back, I mean, is there a time frame from your sources in Syria? When are they expecting the drones and the attack craft of the empire, the New World Order, the bankers, to start attacking to give air cover to the Al-Qaeda forces, burning down churches and murdering people? We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thank you so much for joining us. 5 more minutes with Syrian Girl. Again, they're from the higher level political class that basically run out by Assad. So she's outside Syria, but still has some family there. She's not even pro-Assad, but she's against the country being bombed and Al-Qaeda being sent in to rape, rob, pillage, and kill everybody. And you see them trying to make somebody suicide bomb. And now the media trying to cover this up. I mean, this is so immoral. And it just shows how the people running our society serve no one but themselves and want to destabilize the Middle East and get a civil war going. You heard my question as we went to break, Syrian Girl. So what is the word? I mean, they're talking more and more about that humanitarian carpet bombing of the country.
Well, you know, now that the UN monitors are out of the country, the diplomatic pathways are slimmer, so there's not a lot of, you know, at the beginning, the UN monitors were used to rearm insurgency and to sort of stop the military, the Syrian military, from fighting them. Whereas because the Syrian military disregarded that because the other side kept fighting them, so there was no ceasefire.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's on record. They would do a ceasefire, roll in UN so the West could bring in more weapons.
Yeah, but because it was all out in the open, eventually the UN monitors being in Syria became sort of a way to keep the diplomatic pathway going. So, but now that they're out of the country, you know, the next thing is what? It's got to be something else, maybe war. And you asked me if I have any news on when it might start or a time frame. You know, every so often I hear, you know, be prepared, war is going to start in 3 months' time. And I've heard it again, you know, last week, but you get used to hearing it, and honestly, nobody knows, really. Syria is surviving. You know, Syria is defeating these foreign-funded insurgents, Al-Qaeda, coming from Libya and Jordan. They're defeating them every step of the way. So while they're still being funded, you know, from outside, they're throwing as much money and propaganda as this as they possibly can. They're just not succeeding. So this could be going on for a very long time.
But clearly, even corporatist media is having to admit that this is very immoral and that it's a fraud more and more. I mean, do they really run the risk as this goes longer and longer and longer of just absolutely discrediting themselves, even with the dumbest sheeple?
That's exactly right. I think the fact that it's damaging them, it's kind of, when they attack Syria, it's coming back and slapping them in the face, because nobody's watching CNN anymore. All of their views plummeted. And it's spreading to Al Jazeera. Nobody believes Al Jazeera in the Middle East anymore. Well, you know, except for the very, very brainwashed or the very, very extremist. I mean, you know, Saudi Arabia is not exactly Sunni either. It's a Wahhabi religion, which is a very small section of Islam, which is very extreme.
Sure, I wasn't trying to demonize you because you're Sunni. No. I mean, sure, I mean, these are specialized, you know, kind of moron groups. You can even see these fighters that are just brought in. And that's how you can have suicide jihad people who think they're even fighting for Islam, but then you track the money back to major U.S. and Israeli and Pakistani and British intelligence.
Absolutely. No, I just wanted to say that's, you know, you're exactly right. Unfortunately, a lot of these people are uneducated, and getting money or a salary for anything like fighting what they perceive to be a holy war is very appealing to them. And that's what the power mad NATO powers and the globalists are feeding.
Yeah, they're
on.
Perfect mind control. They're culturally mind controlled by this brainwashing, and then NATO just uses them. No laboratory needed. Syrian girl, thank you so much for spending time with us. We'll be back with more breaking news.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
It has become a national news story on NBC National, AP, Reuters, you name it, Fox News has covered it. Marine to contend mental commitment and to basically say that he's not mentally ill for saying that he thinks government stages terror attacks. Brandon Robb, who we've now talked to as neighbors and family, is a listener of the show. The family is scared to come on the air right now, scared of the feds. They shouldn't be, but I guess they did see that their family member drug off for saying 9/11 was an inside job, decorated Marine, honorably discharged, no psychiatric record, no arrest record. And just thank God he didn't resist them when they came, or they love bagging a veteran. That's a big trophy for the wall for the FBI, because their number one enemy. I was just showing you earlier the threat at home, you know, the magazine for National Guard. They say veterans are going to kill you. They're the new Al-Qaeda. Told you that was coming. And they claim the Tea Party works with Al-Qaeda now in the new Army Report. If you're a new listener, that's not a joke. Just type in. New Army Report says Tea Party to link up with Al-Qaeda. I know it's ridiculous, but they want to get the public simultaneously loving the military, saying support the military, support having them invade everywhere and breathing deadly to you. Support endless war and torture. That's what the troops want. Put them on Prozac that makes them commit suicide, and then wonder why there's record suicides. And make them serve 5, 6, 7 tours, and sometimes go weeks on end in 20-hour days, kicking down doors and disarming poor villagers. But simultaneously, they're the big threat, because they know they're people that won't go along with world government. They won't go along with turning their guns in. So, welcome, America. We've been occupied by the New World Order. They're bragging, and they're saying the veterans are the enemy. And we've got the head of the Rutherford Institute coming on. It's going to be on the nightly news. I'm going to tape it right after the show today. We may even put it out early before the show airs, because sometimes part of the show is live, part of it's taped interviews, because we can't do it all live at one time sometimes, 7 o'clock Central. And it looks like if he gets out, we've been told that that the Rutherford Institute went in and contended that his involuntary commitment was a fraud and that they've been ordered him to be released, but that's all the details we have right now with the Brandon Robb story. Again, the evil Marine that dared have a First Amendment and said our government's illegitimate on Facebook. And then somebody posted lyrics to a song that's got sharpening the axe in it. So saying that, they went and grabbed him. And we have other talk show hosts being arrested for even milder speech, disappearing into psychiatric wards, having their guns taken. I mean, this is the new Soviet-style terror. The good news is it's totally blowing up in their face. But Hitler did this, Mao did it, Stalin did it, Fidel Castro did it. If they couldn't trump something up, they'd just say you were mentally ill and disappear you. On the other side of the political spectrum, Ernest Hemingway said the FBI was harassing him and spying on him, COINTELPRO, before the name was known. They said that's mental illness. I locked him up and gave him shock therapy that basically killed him. And then Hemingway, it came out, was being surveilled and harassed by them. So, hey, hey, the FBI is surveilling and harassing me. Oh, you're going to a mental institution, Bubba. So we had troops rallying outside the mental institution. But again, we're not 100% sure. McBreen's talking to the neighbors, the person that shot the video, all that right now. We're trying to vet all this as it develops, but it looks like some good news because it backed them off. But how many people is this happening to? I've talked to friends and family. Almost everyone I know has family in Texas who shoot their mouth off about Obama. Like, I hate him. You know, I wish he'd get out of our country. Secret Service shows up. They show up at car dealerships if a mechanic. I know the car dealership here in town. I haven't been authorized to say all of it yet. Well, actually, I was, but we needed to check first with something. But the point is, and he just shot his mouth off about Obama. The Secret Service came and said, even though it wasn't, you know, that threatening, we want him fired or you're in trouble as a dealership. They didn't have any other power other than color of law to destroy someone's livelihood. And that's what Homeland Security and all this is about, saying you won't be able to travel outside the country if they say. You won't be able to travel if they say. You won't be able to have a job if they say. This is all admitted their plan. That's how I knew 10 years ago they'd be on the streets someday, because I saw them on C-SPAN break it down. You're going to have an ID approved by them, no judge, no jury, to own a gun, to have a job, to travel. The cars are all going to be computerized with kill switches and by-the-mile taxing systems. That's now being announced. I told you 15 years ago about that. MIT announced it. This is what we've got going on. Now, we're joined now for the rest of the hour by Jamie Balasia. Anyone who lives in Central Texas or even South Texas or North Texas knows who this guy is. He's known as the DWI guy. And he is a lawyer, very successful. And he teaches you, period, when the police, what you're not taught in school, try to get in your car, get in your trunk. It's good information for firearms, anything. And let me tell you, they take you to jail now for one glass of wine, okay? But meanwhile, it's five times more likely to cause wrecks driving while texting or putting makeup on. And sure, if somebody's weaving and driving, no need to charge them with drunk driving. It's reckless driving. I see people all the time at 10 o'clock at night that are drunk, weaving down the road. Good, they need to go to jail. But you can, you know, you see the drunk. You mean, you see it. They're reckless driving. But what, you don't need a law about texting while driving. If you get a text and look at it in a red light, that's okay. It should be the old common law, reckless driving, which is a serious charge. All you need is the old laws. They had it all figured out. And then the officer goes and testifies in court that they were sweeping and whirving and doing all this. And then that they arrested him and that they did have an alcohol level. Boom, there's your probable cause right there. But checkpoints, which is just training us. This guy really knows how to educate people on the Bill of Rights and Constitution. DWIDude.com, DWIDude.com. And I've got to know a lot of people that read his website and his research and then don't go to jail when they've had two or three beers at the football game and, you know, literally probably don't even have a blood alcohol level, but the cops still arrest you for driving under the influence, not even driving while intoxicated. Okay? So he joins us now to break this down. But I've got to say, Jamie, what is it like for you being a constitutional-style lawyer? I mean, just to see the wild tyranny now where they admit the NSA spying on all of us with no warrants, every count of that's a felony. I mean, what's happening? Are we becoming an authoritarian state?
We've already become that. It's gone past the turning point. It's frustrating. It's sickening to see what's going on in our society today. And what really hits me at home is that being a former Austin police officer, who I thought my job was to protect and to serve, I'm seeing that the national movement towards, you know, stamping on the rights of the citizens is being enforced through the local constabulary. It's being enforced through the Austin Police Department, the Westlake Police Department, New Braunfels, San Marcos, your neighbors, guys you went to school with. And they're being placed in a terrible position. And the propaganda machine is also working on them. The police are now becoming, and who have we been hiring lately on these police departments? They're becoming more readily willing to do what Uncle Sam bids, although it's not the true Uncle Sam. It's the impersonator.
You know, I should have pointed out, you have a lengthy bio, and you really are one of the leading experts on DWI in the country, and you've been recognized as such that you were previously a police officer. That's why you know all the tricks, and now it's just been set with precedent on the street where, you know, the cops pull me over, and they even know who I am, and they go, mind if I search the car? And I'm like, of course I mind. What's that you're drinking? It'll be a Topo Chico mineral water. And I go, you know beer bottles don't look like that. Well, you mind showing it to me? And I'm like, no, what is your emergency? But I mean, describe your time as a police officer and how you've seen things transform and why you went and got a law degree and have now become a preeminent expert on DWIs.
When I first joined the Austin Police Department back in 1979, we were known as a really lenient department. We weren't out there trying to get numbers and bust people. If we talked about DWI cases, unless you were drunk and dangerous or had caused a collision or were completely out of control, you didn't go to jail. We called you a cab. If you lived close by, we had districts where we worked. We'd take you home. We might throw your keys out in the grass because what we wanted to do was make sure that nobody got hurt. Now they're trying to make their numbers, and there are numbers. A lot of the DWI enforcement in Texas is done under the federal STEP program. Now, when I worked the STEP program back in the 87, 88, it would come up on a rotational basis. You put your name in the pile, and then they would, you know, pick your name as it came up. But if you didn't make an arrest on tonight's assignment, the next time your name came up, you got passed. That's a bounty. There's no other way to look at it. It's a requirement to make an arrest. And I guarantee you, when you wanted that overtime for child support or your boat payment or maybe for your beer money, you made an arrest. Now it's gotten so much further, it's frightening. I just got back from Del Rio, a DWI trial in a .11 breath case, got a not guilty. But I had a great judge and actually a very ethical and good prosecutor. The DPS trooper, fortunately, we had a videotape. In San Antonio, you usually don't. But the police report had absolute lies in it. He was lying on this three-tour Iraqi veteran. And it was just, we had to win this case to save his military retirement. The police officer, DPS trooper, lied. He lied on the stand. I've never done this before, but I'm going to get a copy of the traffic stop. I'm going to get a copy of the offense report. I'm going to file a complaint with DPS Internal Affairs, and I'm going to ask them to pull his testimony from, you know, sworn testimony and take appropriate action.
I agree. You ought to come up to our TV studio. We could show all that, show the footage, and do a whole news report on it and show the lying.
If I can get permission from my hero, we'll do just that, and he's very likely to agree. It just saddens me to see that if he'll do that on videotape, against a lawyer, you know, of my quality and on DWI reputation, I have to take in the oath at the court. What else can we do?
Absolutely. Stay there. We're going to be right back on the other side with our guest. Wow. The website, you got to check it out. He's a great lawyer. DWIdude.com. People love it when we're having these star lawyers on. We're going to start having on one at least a week. DWIdude.com. Jamie Belasia, former Austin police officer, become lawyer, defending the Bill of Rights and Constitution on a host of issues, but centering in and around DWIs. And I have been pulled over multiple times, even in broad daylight when I've had nothing to drink. And they ask me if I'm drinking. And I'm just like, man, okay. But what's crazy is then they're nice and let me go and don't give me a ticket for speeding 5 miles over the speed limit. The point is, the cops themselves aren't even bad people. The policy is bad, and they're pushing this mother against drunk driving thing that they use as a pretext to take over society. And I could tell that, you know, the lawyer was agreeing with me that, you know, the point is, somebody's reckless driving, throw the book at them. But somebody has two glasses of wine, and the CPS comes, and the kids are taken, and the mom is taken, and tens of thousands of dollars. It's a big moneymaker. I mean, if we're really going to make it this big a crime, then they have to ban alcohol and ban bars. I mean, it's an oxymoron. Here, just have bars everywhere. Have bars everywhere, and then if you have more than two drinks or even one and a half drinks, you're going to jail. I'm ranting, Jamie. Continue with your awakening and then go through people's rights. We've got a long segment coming up. This is a short one, but please continue because this is such a scourge nationwide.
I took that rant a step further Monday during my voir dire or jury selection process. I talked about what's that flat black surface made of asphalt with stripes on it at every bar and every restaurant we see that serves alcohol. If they don't, I mean, people are going to drink with a meal. People are going to drink and have a good time. Just your body gets rid of about one drink per hour, that, you know, depending on the person. But if someone says, well, I had four beers, they're going to jail. But if they had four beers over a three-hour period, they've got one beer in them. They aren't in any way impaired. And I can't believe I'm using that term because in these courtrooms, you hear the prosecutors and the police officers start saying, well, he was impaired. He was buzzed. And I'll start objecting. And a lot of times I let them put out a whole lot of rope so I can hang them. Because inch by inch, it's what you were talking about a moment ago. Inch by inch, they are taking away our rights through these do-good programs of let's get the drunk drivers off the roads that are killing our kids. Well, what you're doing is you're getting everybody off the road. You're giving everybody a criminal history. You're not only arresting for one charge, you're arresting for every charge you can come up with. And it gets very frustrating on my end because to be able to beat a DWI charge in the courtroom, I have got to be the best and smartest lawyer in that room. I have to know more than the judge, the cops, the prosecutors, the state's expert witnesses. Cost a ton of money for me to do that for myself and my staff and associates. And of course, that gets passed on to the client. My client in Del Rio, we got out of a DWI charge with a not guilty finding. The judge was good enough not to just dismiss the case. He found him not guilty. That man paid $10,000 to clear his name when the police officer invented the charge, basically. And there's no grounds for a lawsuit. If we sued the police officer, the DPS trooper, we'd lose more money. And I just feel horrible for people, but I can't do the job I need to do without being adequately prepared. Really appreciate you bringing this issue out to your viewers because nobody thinks they're going to get a DWI until they're getting locked up.
And it's a complete scourge. And like you said, you can be at a meeting with 10 people and go, how many of you have a DWI? And half of them raise their hands. I mean, this is getting ridiculous where I don't even want to have a party at my house and have friends over. I feel like I'm going to send them off to be arrested. If we're having barbecue and drink four or five beers over 3 hours, nobody's even got a quote buzz, especially men that weigh, you know, 250 pounds like I do. I mean, I'm sorry, beer doesn't even do anything to me. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke.
You can't go out and have an Italian meal without having a little wine and not be worried about getting arrested. Generally, the husband or the wife or the, you know, one of the people on the date is the designated driver. And I wonder, they come up with this, a designated driver. That program, I believe, encourages the non-drivers to get hammered. And that's directed at young people. So we've got our college kids and you know, people in their early 20s who are being told, well, if you're going to go out and drink, let somebody else drive so you can get completely wasted so they start developing that habit. I see the downside of the designated driver program.
What about the statistics? I want to come back and talk about this and then talk most importantly about what you teach people, how to deal with this so that even if you do go to jail, you're not going to beat the ride, but you will beat the rap. I want to understand that because you really are one of the most successful lawyers out there using the Constitution to defeat this. But first, I want to talk about the statistics I've seen. In fact, we'll even pull some of these up. 5 times more likely to cause a fatality, texting. Why don't we have a big freak out about that? We'll be right back with our guest. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
A got a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm a guy who's a boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Jamie Belasia, attorney at law, is our guest. His amazing website is dwidu.com. And I'm going to tell you, you know, before I go any further, he's a former Austin police officer. Finish your story, how you woke up, why you got involved, and then, you know, get up to that next point of what's happening in this country and the rights that people need to know, what they need to understand.
In 1990, I started looking around at what was happening at the police department, and I was working a lot of weekends on 6th Street doing overtime assignments, and it got to be where we were just like a bunch of robots herding the cattle. We would put up the barricades, tell people they could only walk one way. They couldn't, a 25-year-old man couldn't carry a beer in his hand and walk down a public sidewalk. I then began to see the first creepings of the control that was starting to take place of our citizens. I didn't like it. I thought about where my dreams had been earlier in life, and I wanted to be a lawyer. And I wanted to be a criminal defense lawyer always, because we're the only ones that are fighting for the Constitution. We're the only ones that walk into court every day, and we fight battles over search warrants, over invalid traffic stops, lying cops. They're out there. My family's law enforcement, but we didn't play the game that way. If we couldn't get you the right way, we'd get you the next time. But we didn't play this game of planting evidence, lying, tricking you. The Supreme Court has said that police officers can lie to you as an investigative tool. I was told to tell the truth when I was a police officer. So I don't know what's going on and how it just keeps getting worse and worse. When I first got out of law school, I started representing police officers that were being disciplined by the police departments. Now, you talk about the dirtiest tricks in the books. That's when a police department goes after one of its own. They will eat them alive. And then you come talk to us criminal defense lawyers and ask, who are the police officers who are really breaking the rules out here? It's not the ones the department goes after. Those are their golden children. They protect them at all cost. Anyway, it's been fascinating to watch this, how the DWI arena has changed so much. In San Antonio, we have blood draws every day of the year. And to get a blood warrant in San Antonio or in Austin during the no refusal programs, odor of alcohol in your breath, bloodshot eyes, and then one more thing will get you a search warrant. The refusal to give them evidence to take the field sobriety tests, which are designed for failure. And I was writing something yesterday, and I was saying, how is it that the odor of alcohol and bloodshot eyes, that's not enough to get a search warrant. But if you merely add in, and he would not take the tests and give us evidence in violation of your constitutional rights, then that's enough to get a warrant. If they pulled you over in front of your house and you had a legalized marijuana bumper sticker in your car, and you get out of your car and you're wearing a Cheech and Chong t-shirt, can they then go get a warrant to search your house because you tell them they can't search your house?
It's amazing. They're saying, really, it's a threat. We're going to jab a needle in your arm if you don't blow. If you exercise your Fourth Amendment, that's evidence that you're bad. That is 180 degrees the opposite of what our country was founded on.
And what would our founding fathers say if they saw it's bad enough what Washington, D.C. is doing to us as they bend us over every day, us people that work for a living, work hard, and try to earn a living for our families. But then when you come down to your local neighborhoods and see now what your local police departments are doing, it just sickens me. It's an incredible...
Well, now they're expanding it, and that was my next question. The statistics, I saw it just a few months ago, but I know you'll know more about it than I will. 5 times more dangerous to text while driving. But they're not doing anything about that other than just saying, well, if you have a phone in your hand, you're going to get a ticket. No. Reckless driving. I mean, isn't that the way to go after it? I mean, I've seen the statistics. I mean, they hype it up, yeah, but and there are some deaths, but drunk driving compared to a lot of other things isn't even on the chart. It's just a way to grab the general public.
A couple of points. You made a great one earlier, and I argue this all the time. We have enough laws on the books. We had enough laws on the books 20 years ago. We don't need more laws. Hate crimes is a pathetic excuse of a way to create new laws to target individuals. We've always had laws against assault and harassment and bullying. Enforce them. And if it's a very egregious case, then give them a higher sentence within the range that we're allowed by law. Another thing is that these checkpoints are talking about doing for DWIs in Texas. I rue the day when that happens for DWI, but currently they're doing it for driver's license. And they're doing the run-in around the Constitution. Statistics, we read the statistics of some 18,000 people plus killed every year by alcohol-related crashes. If I'm completely sober and I pick up three of my friends and one of them in the back seat had a beer and an 18-wheeler runs a red light and kills me, that's an alcohol-related death, according to NHTSA standards. If it does not necessarily mean that the person driving the vehicle that caused the collision and caused the injury was intoxicated. So they're using statistics to fool the people. It's upsetting when you start digging behind the veil that the Wizard of Oz has put up.
What about the hypocrisy? Because I've seen statistics that police are the hardest drinking group statistically. I mean, it's been proven in studies. People can look them up. And then I read about police letting other police off when they're actually are seriously drunk. And then, you know, I mean, how do cops engage in hypocritical activity? How do police arrest people, college kids they find with a little bag of weed, when the cop themselves smoked pot in college or may even be a pot smoker then? I mean, it's something like 85% of the American people have at least tried marijuana. I mean, this is all just a giant excuse to put people in prison and raise money.
That's right. What? My kids the other day, we went out to a restaurant. It was one of the mom and pop kind of places in Austin. And I said, look in the kitchen, guys. And I said, who's cooking the meals? Who's doing the cleaning and everything? And they said, and it was probably individuals who were from south of the Texas border, not born in our country. When I was growing up, there were a lot of blacks that were working in the kitchens, you know, and I told my kids that, and I said, you know where so many of the blacks are now? They're in prison. They're in prison over nonviolent crimes. They're taken into a system that will indoctrinate them and force them to join gangs and become violent criminals.
They're sent to criminal prison.
That's correct.
I mean, they're sent to criminal college.
Criminal college. It's horrible. When you go to these courtrooms and just listen to what's going on in the court, we don't want drunk drivers killing people in our roadways. We don't want rapists and pedophiles and murderers and violent bank robbers out here just doing what they please. But they're sending nonviolent individuals to prison without trying to help them at all. There's no money for rehabilitation. There's no money for job training. It's a joke, and it keeps the system churning, but the system keeps getting bigger, so they're having to take more of the fodder, the sheeple in this country, and shove them into the machine.
Well, that's right. They're done feeding on the black folks. They pretty much consume most of them. The illegals, I've noticed, and I've talked to police, I've seen it in the news, the judges just let them go because I guess they're outside of the system. Have you seen that anomaly where the police are told to basically go easy on the illegals, but if you're a Hispanic American and had three beers, you're going to jail, or you're white or black or Asian? Have you seen that?
Well, especially in Austin, because for decades now, they've been a haven and they used to have a term for it.
Sanctuary city.
Sanctuary city. And we were basically told, leave them alone. Now, I didn't have a problem with leaving home somebody who was working hard and being productive.
Sure, but that doesn't mean leave them alone when they're engaged in all sorts of crimes while citizens are seen as chumps to be fed on.
Exactly, and I agree completely with that. But we were leaned on that if we made an arrest of an illegal alien of Hispanic descent, then we were being racist, and it wasn't true. But you know, when you're a police officer, and you know it's okay, I can enforce the laws as they're supposed to be enforced, and I can catch a bunch of trouble from my supervisors and get investigated by internal affairs, or I can just go sit at Dunkin' Donut and just screw it all. And one of the old sayings we had when I was at APD is nobody gets in trouble with internal affairs for eating a donut. They eventually did have an officer who got suspended because he was sitting at Dunkin' Donut and he took a radio call. He got in there and said that he had arrived at the call. Then he cleared the call and he hadn't even finished his donut and coffee yet. So that was the one time that's happened.
Amazing. I mean, it's such a joke. I've told the story like probably 100 times, but I'll tell it briefly. One night we had an IT problem and I had to come up here for a contractor, and I pull up and there's four police cars right out here, and they're running around inside the office, and the IT guy's in handcuffs being put in a car. And I go over there and I go, what's going on? Like, oh, hi, Alex. And it's a woman cop putting him in the car, but the three male cops are talking to me. And they go, oh, we all like your show, blah, blah. I go, what are you doing in my office? Oh, we thought he darted in here, so she pulled in here, and then his driver's license was expired, so we're going to go ahead, and I thought, you arrest? They go, well, we can arrest even for no seatbelt now. And I'm going, but if he was an illegal alien, you'd let him go. Well, that's true. We're told to do that. And I'm just like, so I start telling her, hey, let him go. They're like, now, don't interfere. So they were all real friendly, but they're ready to take me to jail for just going, hey, common sense, guys, common sense. So what if he has an expired license? He's here to get my computers working. But they'd use that to come in the office claiming that he darted in here. He didn't dart in here. He drives like an old woman. He's out there right now. I mean, the point is that it's like secret police on the American people, like I live in North Korea or something, but then the illegal aliens are above the law. It really irritates me.
Now, just sticking to the topic of the fact that except for speeding and open container in your vehicle, they can arrest for every other offense or allegation of a traffic offense, a Class C misdemeanor. That remember that soccer mom in Lago Vista with her kids in the car? She
stopped at her mailbox 100 yards away, like a lot of neighborhoods have them in one spot. The kids get out of the seatbelt. Mine do that when we get close to home sometimes. And they take her to jail.
That's right. That's just incredible. And, you know, that police officer should have been brought in. He should have been
Okay, his Skype just cut out. We're going to reconnect with our guest. I tell you, 45 minutes has gone by so quick. I've got to get him back on. I want to get him in studio because I've seen him on TV and seen his ads, and I've talked to people because I want to get into what you do if you've had 2-3 beers, you know, at the football game, and you're driving home, and you know the cop wants you to blow in a breathalyzer. What do you do at that point? Because I mean, I remember one time a cop pulled me over and it was about 11 o'clock at night. And I said, I'm coming home from work. And he goes, what do you do? And I said, and he knew who I was. And later he said that. And he goes, well, that's a little late in all this. And I went ahead and let him do it. But at a certain point, I said, I'm not doing this anymore. Follow the red light. Do this, do that. And I said, look, I hadn't been drinking. He goes, well, I want you to blow in a breathalyzer. And I said, you know what? I said, you may beat the rap, but you're not going to beat the route. I'm going to sue you. Leave me alone. But anyways, going back to our guest, Jamie, continue with the point you were making when you cut out.
The feds must have been listening in on us and cutting out. Now, what's irritating is we have transformed the police departments from to protect, to serve. What did they used to tell? I'm 55 years old. When I was a kid, if I got lost, if I had problems, who was I supposed to go find? A police officer. I'm not so certain that's what is supposed to happen nowadays. You know, who do you send your kids to? Because they might start investigating why you're lost. And maybe your parents have endangered you, which is a felony, and then CPS gets involved, and the agencies all do work together. It's very, very frightening and disconcerting what's happening amongst our law enforcement criminal justice system. I remember watching the first Terminator movie, and there's the huge machine that's rolling over the skulls at the beginning of the movie. And I tell my clients oftentimes, and in the DW arena, you meet people that have never done so much as a traffic ticket before, and now they've spent the night in jail. They're good people. They're our neighbors. They're us. And I tell them, that is the criminal justice system. It crushes and destroys lives. So you can't just hook up thinking, oh, it's no big deal. Once I get into the courts, then I'll be protected. Look at how many cases we're seeing now, prosecutors who are hiding Brady material, shredding evidence.
Oh, they get caught sending innocent people with no criminal record to death row and for 20 years try to keep them in there knowing they're innocent, wanting to get them executed.
And what happens to them once they're caught?
Nothing.
Maybe they don't win their election, but other than that, nothing. It's a shame.
That's another question, though. How do we get so evil? I mean, I get it's a machine, but I mean, I would really not sleep good at night if I sent an innocent person to jail and then tried to keep them in there. I mean, how? Well, these are some evil people.
We have our jury system. That is the last bastion of freedom in America. And you would not believe what I encounter in these juries. They say that in a typical criminal case, the jury summons, the people that show up with the jury summons in their hand, about 70 to 75% of those people answer the question, well, or is the person guilty or not guilty? They haven't even walked into the courthouse. Guilty, three-fourths of the people. Except on DWI, Alex, 88%. It's unbelievable. Monday, and I do this in every jury trial for the most part, I raise my hand, I'll nod my head, and I'll say, drink, drive, go to, and everybody says, go to jail. I say, now that's the law. Y'all understand that, don't y'all? Monday, 29 people shook their heads. In Austin, the last trial I did, 24 out of 25 shook their heads. And then I'll repeat it. I'll say, I mean, y'all do know that is the law. If you drink and drive, you go to jail. And they almost all agree. And then I tell them, that is a government lie. It is not true. How am I supposed to get a jury that will do their job properly on Johnny here if you've all been brainwashed?
When the government uses our money to put billboards up and run ads everywhere lying, where they think if you drink a thimble, you're a criminal, when it's not true. It is driving impaired. It is the reckless driving clause coming in, but they've twisted the whole thing, correct?
That's right. You come in there into the courtroom as a defense attorney, and you are fighting an uphill battle from the very start. It's an incredible challenge. I love it, but it's frustrating when the jury goes out to deliberate and everyone in that courtroom, judge, bailiff, officers, and prosecutors know that we won this case and the jury will come out in 3 hours with a guilty verdict because they cannot get over years of indoctrination in a 1 or 2 or 3 day trial. They just can't get there sometimes. Alex, Monday, I do this as well. I'll say, if you do not find that the government proved the case beyond all reasonable doubt, what must you say, guilty or not guilty? And the answer, of course, is not guilty. I'll have jurors in the panel who cannot say the words not guilty. They'll go, well, I'll do the right thing. I said, no, you have to say guilty or not guilty. Well, you know, we'll consider all the evidence. I go, no, let's say you believe Johnny is innocent. What will you say? And they cannot say not guilty.
Well, what about the issue that it's better than 10 guilty men go free than one innocent man go to jail? We've got to protect our rights of due process. We're going to live in North Korea. That's not taught in school, but you have to explain it to them. Do you understand you've got to judge the facts as well as the law? And if they have violated the Constitution and the procedures, then you've got to let him go even if he'd had 2 bottles of whiskey. Do you understand that? I mean, are you able to explain that to these people?
In Del Rio, they let me have an hour and a half in my voir dire, and I addressed that issue you're just talking about. In Austin, they give you 20 minutes. And on a breath test case, you can barely even explain the machine's fallacies in that much time. It's incredible the way that our citizens are being manipulated. Their rights are being crushed. I went to a courtroom in San Antonio yesterday, and they said, oh, as soon as this hearing starts, everyone must clear the courtroom, including lawyers, because they're exposing a breath test technical supervisor down who has been fudging the data and getting people convicted wrongfully. And I told the bailiff, I said, if the judge comes out here and orders me out of the courtroom, I guess I'm going to jail because I will be held.
Exactly. That's totally criminal. But here's what's amazing. We've got to get you in studio for like 2 hours because this isn't just about DWIs. It ties into literally everything. It ties into every other place they're running over things. But They systematically know what they're doing, just shredding the Bill of Rights, shredding the Constitution, not wanting people to have access to juries.
Started with the war on drugs in a great way, and they have been just hammering us since. To think that we could take 60% of the drug cartel's money away overnight, we could get a regulation of marijuana, which marijuana can be found and bought anywhere in this country. We can regulate it. We can, just like alcohol, 21 and over, we can tax it. We can pour some of that money into rehab in case someone believes they have an addictive problem with marijuana. Instead, we use it to keep a stranglehold on youth and to terrify people. Alex, whether you agree with the use of marijuana or not, people who don't use it but think it ought to be legalized are terrified to say that. They'll be fired. They'll be harassed. They'll think they'll be put on the government list. It's really terrifying the way that our government is abusing us. And if someone would have, I'd love to tell the Democrats, Barack Obama has set back the medicinal marijuana program 20 years. George Bush was better for medicinal marijuana, which is saving lives and killing cancer. And Barack Obama is closing down the distribution points throwing people in prison.
Well said. Again, go through. We only got a few minutes left here.
Okay.
Go through, Jamie, what the DWIDude.com covers, just the basics of what people should do or what you would do, because I know each case is different. But hypothetically, if you had three beers, you don't even have what they call a buzz. You're driving home. You know, some teenager's texting, almost killing 20 people. That's no big deal. You're driving home, 8 o'clock at night, lights go on, and they're just out there randomly pulling people over, coming out of a bar, no due process, no excuse, no reason, no probable cause. What do you do when the officer walks over? I mean, my big thing is just give them the license and stuff and don't answer questions. What do you do?
It's not his business where I've been. It's not his business what I've been doing. It's not his business where I'm going. I don't have to answer those questions. I provide my valid insurance, my valid driver's license, and then I'm going to roll the window back up. If he wants to talk, I'll crack it a half an inch. I don't drink, Alex. Could you imagine if they caught me with one beer on my breath? They'd have the news team down at the jail when I got there. But, you know, you don't want to be ugly. You don't want to use profanity. Hopefully you're being videotaped, so everything that's happening will be shown to a judge and a jury. So be on your best behavior. But they're going to ask you to get out of the car if they smell any alcohol. It's such a joke about red eyes in Austin, Texas, or anywhere that I practice. All of my jurors have red eyes. The one or two that don't used Visine this morning, probably because they smoked some weed. But
I was about to say, I get red eyes from allergies and stuff, you know, during allergy season.
Everyone just look.
I don't get red eyes when I drink, by the way. I don't even know what this red eye thing means. That sounds pretty stupid.
It's from fatigue or being in a smoky bar, and there aren't any smoky bars anymore. So I think it's just from, you know, you've been up so many hours, your eyes get tired. They are trained to ask you questions that will divide your attention. They'll say, "Can I see your license, please?" Now, while you're reaching for your driver's license, they go, "Where are you coming from?" Now, my daddy taught me to respect the police and answer their questions in a polite manner. So I stop what I'm doing with my driver's license, and I look up, and I start answering his question. His police report will say, subject couldn't concentrate on answering my question and getting driver's license at the same time. He had to stop what he was doing physically in order to try to respond through his befuddled and intoxicated mind. That's what we're seeing on these reports. I drive a Corvette. When he got out of the vehicle, he had to use the door to get up. Well, I weigh 240 pounds and I'm 55 years old. I ought to have a rope to crawl up out of to get out of that Corvette. The thing that they see, the red eyes is not allergies, it's intoxication. The odor of alcohol in your breath. Have you been drinking, Alex? Yeah, I had a glass of wine with some spaghetti over at Carrabba's. It was terrific. Oh, he admitted that he was drinking. And I can smell the odor of an alcoholic beverage. Now I want to give him the portable breath test to see whether or not he has alcohol in his breath. Well, I told you I did. I drank. You smelled it. Why do you need the the little breath device, the one they can't introduce for a number in court. But I'll tell you what.
Well, that's another thing. You want to tell the truth and go, yeah, I was at a cookout. I had two beers. That was an hour ago, pal. And then they use that like you did something wrong. It's like, hey, it's America. Human beings have drunk alcohol for forever. I'm not evil.
And there are receptors in our brain that show we were designed to drink alcohol. Your brain has receptors for marijuana. I mean, it's not like our history has not evolved into the situation.
I'll tell you what, stay there, Jamie. Let's do five more minutes. DWIDude.com. Check it out.
Go Dutch treat, you were sweet. Darker Shane, darling, Darker Shane. Save those lies, darling, don't explain. I recall Central Park in fall, how you tore your dress.
Okay, we're talking to our guest. He's the DWIDude.com. Finishing up, sir, a former Austin police officer, Jamie.
Yes.
Just in the 4 minutes we have left in this little addendum, what else would you want to tell people about when you get pulled over?
All right. So knowing that they're going to look at anything you do and try to bring it into the courtroom or into the probable cause affidavit to get your blood as criminal activity or evidence of intoxication. They'll say that your speech is slurred, so don't say much unless you know your speech is not slurred and there's a video. It's all right to talk a little bit, just so later we can come into court and show that your speech was not slurred. Do not take the field sobriety test. When they do this, the HGN, here goes nothing test, it is absolute junk science. Do not let them have that. If they do HGN, and they find four more clues, you're going to jail no matter what else you do. Don't take the walk and turn test. They don't tell you what will make you fail. They don't tell you what they're looking for, so you don't even know that you're screwing up. Don't take the one-leg stand. Even on a no-refusal weekend, or if it's 24-7, that does not mean you cannot refuse the field sobriety test. It does, and also, you can still refuse the breath test. They'll just take your license away unless we can win it back at a hearing. If we have the hearing at DPS, we get the officers under oath and we get to paint them into a corner so they don't come into court later and start making up evidence. So don't take the breath test unless you know you are going to pass. I tell people this all the time. If you go out drinking and you leave in a bar, leave in a restaurant or leave in a friend's house, whatever, anticipate the police are going to stop you and do a DWI investigation. If you still want to drive, go for it. Just save my number to your cell phone so you can call me from the pokey, because that's probably where you're going. If they ask you, look, if you don't take the breath test, we're going to get a blood warrant, so why don't you consent? Do not consent. That's not voluntary consent. Say no. You could waive your rights. You know, so don't waive your rights.
Well, that's right. This blood draw is a physical assault, and if you can prove that they didn't get probable cause or that the warrant's a fraud, I think people should just sue them if they have the money just to punish them with time and energy. I mean, there are ways to beat them, aren't there?
The ways to beat the blood draw is they're doing the blood draws incorrectly. I would have to go into this for probably 30 minutes with you, Alex. I went to Axion Labs up in Chicago. It's the number one lab in America on the gas chromatography and the mass spectrometry and the issues of blood draws. I can change one little number on the keyboard and double your alcohol reading.
If they'll violate the Bill of Rights Constitution, lie on the stand, set you up. Well, I mean, how many police labs have been caught defrauding people with the evidence labs at an industrial level? The FBI crime lab, the Dallas crime lab, the Houston crime lab. Every major city's been caught.
The DPS crime lab in Austin won't release to us the blood discovery we request. They fight us tooth and nail. If what you're doing is true and correct and honest, you'd show it to anybody. If I was running the books for a nonprofit organization and you came to me and said, we want to look at the books, Jamie, and I said no, and I fought you in court, there's only one reason. I'm cheating. I'm a liar.
Yeah, I've actually sent people to prison for violations of nonprofits, the head of Access TV, and that's what happened. They fought us. We knew something was there, and we got them. All right, well, I'm very impressed, Jamie. Thank you. Jamie Bellagio was our guest here today, DWIDude.com. Thank you so much for spending time with us. And, hey, let's get you up here in studio very soon. Thank you very much.
We're counting on you, Alex.
All right, buddy. Thank you.